Okay, so by the grace of God, today we are in Revelation 22, and we are able to see the river and the tree of life, and we'll be able to see, God willing, if time allows us, to see the conclusion of the Bible. And we are learning, we've been looking at the Revelation, we've been looking at the study of the end times, we've been seeing the plans of God, we've been seeing the things that God has spoken. It was revealed in the seal. Remember, the seals were opened. There was a book, and this is the book of, you know, the final times. And remember, when Jesus told his disciples, no one knows the day or the hour that the Son will come, except only the Father, you know, and not even the Son knows the day or the hour. But you see, when he went to heaven, God, the one seated on the throne, had a book, or had the scroll that had seven seals, and no one was found worthy to take the book from the one who sat on the throne. But then, as John wept, the Bible says, one of the elders told him, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he is worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. And Jesus took the scroll, because he was the Lamb that was slain. He took the scroll, he opened its seals, and he opened the seven seals. And we've been able to see the seven seals. And then in the seven seals, there were seven trumpets. And then within the seven trumpets, there was also the thunders. And then within the seventh trumpet, there was also the seven bowls of judgment. We've been able to see the judgment of the Antichrist. We've been able to see the judgment of the false prophet. We've been able to see the judgment of the beast, and or rather of the devil, and indeed them being cast into the lake of fire. And you remember, then is also the people who did not believe, who are judged to not to be found in the written, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, were as well also thrown into the lake of fire. We have seen now the holy city, the new Jerusalem. There's a new heaven and a new earth. The new Jerusalem comes down from God, dressed like a bride. And we've been able to see the description of the holy city. We've seen, you know, how it is clear glass, which is pure gold, and then how it shines, you know, it radiates the glory of God. And we've seen the, you know, it is shaped like a square with pillars, with gates, 12 gates of pearls, which on which the names of the apostles are written. We've seen the foundations have the names of the apostles, and they have the 12 precious stones, which yesterday we were able to see their meaning. Today we are now in Revelation 22, which is also another description of the end. And one of the things that you will see is that if you compare, you know, the beginning of the Bible, it starts in the garden. And when we see the end of the Bible, it ends in a garden, in that it shows it's one continuous revelation or one continuous book. And when we read now Revelation 22, we are now restored back, and some versions will say Eden restored, and so we'll be able to see how God takes us back to that original place where he wanted communion with the saints, and where he wanted communion with man before the fall, and where it was him and us, and having that kind of what we call the world of the age to come, having that time where there is that perfect unity between God and man, and where we are joined to him. So we're reading Revelation 22, and I was just giving a brief synopsis, and it says that, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer be any night, and they will not have the need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Verse 6, it says, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show his bond servants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. So I'll stop there for now and let us reflect on what we have seen. So far we can see that now we are seeing heaven and earth. Remember, there's the unity of heaven and earth. The new Jerusalem comes down to the earth, and on the new earth, and there is no sea. And we've seen the description of the city, but then we are seeing that also we are seeing there is a river of life. Now, this river is not like any other river on the earth, because it's not one that will flow into a lake and then, you know, there's water, there's a sky, and, you know, and forming clouds and coming down. No, but we see it's a continuous flow of life, a continuous flow of the river of water of life. That tells us that now we are in eternal life. We've entered into that life everlasting. And this is what Jesus said, I came to give you life and life in abundance. And now he says that whoever believes in me, I'll give him the right to drink from the river of life, the springs of living water. That, where does it flow from? It flows from God himself. So we basically receive the very life of God, the very life of God that flows from his throne, that eternal life, and the Lamb also flows into us. Why? Because we are now united with him. We are in that holy city. We have been made one with him, and we are united in all aspects. And then we can see that also, apart from the river, we are also seeing the tree of life. And also this tree of life is also another symbol of eternal life. And we can see it bears 12 kinds of fruits, and it bears its fruit every month. That means that it tells us of the variety. You can see, you know, because one of the things that we see in about God is so vast. I mean, he's not limited. You can see, even just give an example of prophets. There's no prophet that is the same. There are various kinds. You go to apostles, there are various kinds. You go of, you know, even like, I mean, think of the 1 billion people that we have on the earth, and 8 billion and more. I mean, none of them is the same. Even identical twins have differences. And now God tells us that there will be a continuity in heaven. There will be a single tree, which is the tree of life. And remember, when we think of the tree of life, we think of Christ. Because remember, when Adam sinned, he ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said that, let us send him out, because lest he reaches out his hand and takes of the tree of life. And there he will live forever. It's not that God did not want Adam to live forever. No, but he knew that if Adam takes of that tree of life in that fallen state, Adam will live forever in eternal judgment, in that he will live forever in that fallen state. But God needed to restore him first. And that is why Christ came. He died for our sins. And that way back to the garden was hidden. And it was blocked by the angel guarding, you know, with a sword, and it was blocked. But Christ came back to make that way, to bring us back to the garden, to bring us back to Eden, and to bring us back to the place of healing and the place of life. And so this tree that Adam was denied is a tree that Christ brings to us and allows us to partake of that. And for me, I see when it says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, that tells us of how the nations will be healed. No, and something that I believe is that there will be, you know, there will be nations in that time. You know, when we are told that those that overcome, I will give power over nations. You know, I will give them power over cities and over towns. We that have been faithful will be given power over nations. And you can see there will be leaves which of the tree of life which are for the healing of the nation. And one of the things I want you to know is it's not just a future reality. The Bible says that we can have a foretaste of the powers of the age to come, and we experience them even today. And that is how we get our healing. That is how we experience healing in this life today. We partake by faith of those leaves that are from the tree of life. And that speaks of when we partake of Christ, when we are part of Christ, we experience the healing of the nations. Now, if God is telling us that he is not only just healing individuals, he is healing nations, and we can experience that therapeutic healing that comes from God. And when that healing comes, what we see is that there is no more curse, there is no more tears, there is no more crying, there is no more growing old, there is no more death. Why? Because every curse on earth and on humanity that came as a result of Adam's and Eve's disobedience will be totally extinguished, will be totally finished. And God will not judge sin again. And since it will never exist in the new heaven and or in the new earth, and God says that his servants, his bond servants, you know, versions that say his bond servants and his servants shall serve him. Now, when there's a reason why some versions put bond servant, because the bond servant is one that has been set free, is a son now, but has willingly come and put himself under service again. Remember, the bond servant was one who was set free, but he says, no, I love my master. I want to serve him for free. So that was a bond servant. And that is what we are in Christ. When we see the place of servant, we are not serving like slaves, but we are serving like sons. We are bond servants. So we must always have that difference in that God puts us back. We serve him, and we serve him because we love him. The Bible tells us there'll be no more night. Why? Because Christ will shine his light in us. We are that city. And remember what I've been saying. Think of the future reality as a present reality. When the Christ light shines through you as that city, you bear light. The nations come to your light. The kings of the earth are attracted to your light. And as you are the light of the world, remember Jesus said this when he came, I am the light of the world. But when he left, he said, now you are the light of the world. So when we are the light of the world, we express that light, we pour out that light, we show that light. And when the demons see us, they see us as men of light. When devil worshippers see us, they see us as men of light, and they do not joke with us. Why? Because we bear light. And this light is the light of God and is the light of Christ that shines forth into our lives, and we can see that. Now, we also read that he says that these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the prophets has sent his angels to show his servants the things which must soon take place. Now, remember, this is a description of the end, because before all these things were hidden, before all these things were kept. Remember, when we think of Daniel, when he was shown the book, he was told, no, seal these things up. Daniel was told, seal these things up. But John is told, leave it open. Why? Because the end is near. Verse 6, when he tells us that these words are faithful and true, is a confirmation, an affirmation that everything that God has revealed through the angel. Remember, all this revelation from chapter 4 up to 21 and now 22, all this has been the angel of God revealing to John the revelation of the end. And it has been a revelation that it has been revealed to him. And the beauty of it is that we see that he was just told, come up hither, come up higher, and I will show you the things that must take place. So all this time we've been hearing, you know, the voice of the angel, but now we can now see the continuity of the voice of John. And now verse 8 says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Look at how an angel, this big angel that has been showing John these prophets, John even thought that this is God himself. This is Christ himself. Why? Because they are angels because of their continuous presence in God. They were ranked and they reflect God. And in a way, they look like God. And John in his mind was thinking, no, this must be God himself. So he wanted to worship the angel. But then the angel tells him, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours. And this is something that you will have to know. Angels, you know, when angels do not accept worship, but when you look at the Old Testament and when you see where it describes the angel of the Lord came and saw Manoah, I remember the father of Samson, and he accepted the worship, you know, and when there are descriptions of the angel of the Lord, you must be able to distinguish that there are some times when the angel of the Lord refers to Christ. And when do we know it refers to Christ? When it refers to Christ, when they accept worship. But when the angels that do not accept worship, they tell you that they are not the angel of the Lord. They are not referring to Christ, but they are just a normal angel. And you can see that when John tries to do that, the angel tells him, stop, I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets. Who are we to worship? We are only to worship God. And those that are brothers, you can fellow servants of angels, are those who obey, those who keep the sayings of this book, those who heed the words of this book. God is telling us that these prophecies have been written for us, for our benefit. We need to hear. And then, by the grace of God, as we see then, verse 10, it says, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. It's imminent. The time is at hand. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong or continue to do wrong. And the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give or to render to each man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, or the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take of the water of life without cost, let him take the water of life freely. I testify to everyone who hears the word of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Now, it's amazing how when we think of what Christ says, I mean, towards the end and the final message, and as I've said, he was told, do not seal it. Daniel was told, seal up the book. As John was told, do not seal it. The time is near. Why? Because Christ is coming. And he describes himself that he is coming quickly with the reward in his hand to give to each man according to what he has done. God's judgment is near with us. It is here. And we have a chance while we are still alive to make a difference. We are still alive to put our faith in Christ. While we are still alive to practice righteousness, to be holy as he is holy. Why? Because we are the righteousness of Christ by faith in Christ Jesus. And to stay in holy because it is God that makes us holy in his eyes. But the Bible says, whoever wants to continue sinning, let him continue sinning. Whoever wants to stay filthy and dirty, let him stay dirty. Why? Because the time is coming soon. But blessed are those who will wash their robes so that they might have the right to partake of the tree of life, and they will enter by the gates into the city. Remember, the holy city is there. The gates are there. We've seen the different, the 12 gates, but we enter and it's available. But you see outside of the city, those who will be watching us, remember, they will be in hell, but they will be able to see us. Remember, even the time of Abraham, they were in hell, in Hades, but they were able to see Abraham. And they were in torment. They will be seeing us in that city. And they're in eternal judgment because everyone ends up either in eternal life or in eternal judgment. And outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. You can see we have a responsibility. Christ is coming with the reward. The judgment is here. And remember, there is a seat of judgment of rewards in which Christ will reward each and every one of us of what we have done. And what does Jesus finally say? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you. And look at how he describes himself. I'm the root and descendant of the root and offspring. That means when he says he's the root, that means he speaks of his eternal life. That means he's Christ, the source. He's God himself. So David himself comes from God. That's why he's the root. But then when he also says he's the offspring, descendant, it also speaks of his lineage, of his humanity. So we can see the unity of God and man in that he started as the root of the David and he is also the offspring, so that he shows that he came through as a man, he came through the lineage of David. And then we see the bright morning star is a description of his brightest, or because remember, God is light and he brings, there's no other light that is as bright as him. He's a bright morning star. And I love where it says, come, the spirit and the bride say, come. This speaks of our marriage. This speaks of our unity. This speaks of the heart that every believer must keep having. We must keep saying, come, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come closer. And he, the spirit also says, come. You can see it is a call. As we call out to God, he also calls out to us. That's why when you hunger for the things of God, God also reveals himself to you. The revelation that you have of God is based on your hunger. As you cry out to him, then he also reaches out to you. And God says, the spirit and the bride say, come. And the Bible tells us that everyone that hears, you see, it is about that spiritual ear. When your ear is open to hear the call of God, just like I'm preaching today, and you hear the call of God, he's saying, come. And he says, whoever is thirsty of life, I will give him the right to take of the river of the water of life. Eternal life is available at no cost if we hear. If we open our ears to hear, and the warning is given, let no one add or subtract from the revelation that has been given. Why? Because if you subtract, you will lead people to destruction. You yourself will be lost. If you add, you might add your own things. But then what we are told, that Jesus is coming back quickly. And indeed, then the life of the age to come begins, and we enter into that world. And there are various clues we'll find in Scripture of what gives us of that life of the age to come. And remember, you can think of that time, the lamb will eat with the, you know, with the child will play with the snake, the lion, you know, will eat grass, you know, there'll be no more tears. There's so many descriptions that God has given us. But for now, I'll stop there and let us reflect on what God is saying. And yes, my sister, you're welcome for reflections.
Thank you so much for the teaching,
Dr.
Emmanuel.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, on that point where in the time of Daniel, he was asked to seal, and in the time of God, he was asked to not to seal. It makes us to know clearly that Christianity cannot be a religion. It cannot be a set of rules or to follow or instruction. It's a relationship.
Amen.
You know, I remember somewhere in the Bible, the enemies of David came against him. He asked the Lord, should I go? And the Lord said, go. He went. Then the next verse said, and again, the Philistines came against David, and he went back to ask, should I go? The Lord now said, no, wait. When you hear the noise in the mulberry trees, then a different strategy, the same enemy. So sometimes we tend to follow rules.
Yeah.
We tend to follow some type of things we have already missed the real essence of Christianity. There will be a time he will say seal it, the time he will say speak it out. So it depends. To be able to get it right, we need to walk in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus already told us that my judgment, I don't judge by myself. I only say what I hear. So it really helps me to know that Christianity is none of the religions. It's not a religion. It is a person. It's a relationship. You are being guided by someone. So that is what I got from there.
Amen.
Then I have a question.
Yes, please.
Yes. On the issue of, you know, there will be no light in the heavenly city, because our Lord will be the light. But there will be leaves for the healing of the nations. What will the nations be healed from? Is it because outside the city, they are these warmongers, the people who were rejected, that will still have an influence over the nations? Or why should they be medicine, something to heal the nations, when we do not have the light? Because the Lord is our light in the heavenly city. So I wouldn't have expected to see remedies like the leaves that heal the nations. From what? That is just over. Thank you.
It's a good question. And that's why I said there's we'll tomorrow, by the grace of God, we'll do a teaching of the age to come, and I call it the mystery of the age to come, and after that we need to see there's, you know, why we call it a mystery is we believe that when Christ completes this earth, then there will be a new, he will start a new work. You know, like it will all be sealed up. The Bible says it will be rolled as a book. You know, it will be rolled when all this earth, everything will be rolled up into a book, into Christ, into God. Then what we see and what we can experience is that there are certain things that God shows us in the scriptures that there will be an age to come. That means there will be a life, another world or another eon that will be formed that will be beyond this. And we who are from that city, we who are in God, we who are, you know, victorious, we who are, you know, part of that will now be given authority to govern over nations and over cities. And that is where I say that that is a, another teaching that we have to pick various verses and try and build it up. And God willing, we can look at that tomorrow and we will see that. So the mystery is that, that's why it says there are powers of the age to come. There's a, we can experience that foretaste. We can have a foretaste. And there are things that will come beyond this world. It's something, it's what you will call a doctrine that you can pick out, but of course it will still remain a mystery. And that's why we call it the mystery of the age to come. So that means we can only see in part from the clues that God gives us, but when that time comes, we shall know in full. So that's what I will say for now. There'll be another work of God, and of which those who have been victorious, those who will be in the holy city, will be given authority to govern and to heal the nations. And so anyway, that's what I can say in short for now. But it's a good question, and let's see if we can answer it tomorrow morning. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy and power. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your word that you continue to teach us your truth. And indeed, you've said you're coming back quickly. And I pray for my brother, my sister who listened to this and who is convicted in heart to repent and to stay righteous and to practice righteousness and to live in holiness, that indeed in your grace, in your wisdom, you shall cleanse them by the blood of Jesus and let them experience that life and that walk in that truth. And indeed, you say, we cry out to you, come, and Lord Jesus, come. Even as we go and do our works, that you go ahead of us, sustain us, keep us, and watch over us in all these things. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed day, and let's talk tomorrow on that world on the age to come. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. We will try and answer. Not fully, but we will try what we can by the grace of God. Okay. Shalom. Bye.